Wednesday, June 12, 2024. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a good start. Hope that you, your family, your friends, everyone in your world right now is staying strong and you are staying healthy. And like I announced last week, the Daily Dose, yeah, we're moving some things around. We are actually in the process of physically moving. We are packing up, and the Daily Dose studio is actually currently stuffed into a number of moving boxes. But never fear, because during this brief hiatus that we are taking, we are flashing back to some very early episodes of the Daily Dose. And today, we are going to be looking at some of the odd things that happen when the world of Hollywood and the world of sports collide. And I will warn you ahead of time, it doesn't always go that well. So right now, sit back, relax, and enjoy a throwback episode of the Daily Dose. Wednesday, February 25th, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer, coming to you from Denver, Colorado. Got a beautiful day today. They are talking about some snow coming in a little bit later, but it's sunny right now. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every Wednesday, and we bring you a different outlook on the world of sports. It's a little bit different than you're going to get anywhere else. We're going to mix in a lot of sports takes. We're going to mix in a few other things, too, and you want to make sure that you hear those. You know, you can download it. You can listen to it. You can share it at your convenience. Grab it at one of the locations. You know, you can get it at iTunes. You can get it at Podomatic. You can get it at thepodcastdirectory.com. A lot of different places you can get it. You can always get a hold of me if that is, you know, what you need, whatever you might need. Got a comment? Got a concern? Got some feedback on the show? Would love to hear from you. Hey, this week, got a lot of NBA to get to. You know, trade deadline went down. We've got a lot of things to get there. Who actually got better? What teams actually improved themselves? Going to talk a little bit about the NFL Combine and some free agency things that are coming out. Got some college basketball to talk. A few things in the sports world going on with college basketball. Going to touch on a little bit of boxing, of course. Daytona, might get to some NHL. Hey, we got to talk a little bit about the Oscars. And, of course, we've got the Daily Dose Top 5 that we've got to get to. You don't want to miss that this week. You know, speaking of the weather, and I don't want to harp too much on weather here, but, you know, over the weekend, we had pretty decent snow here in Denver, Colorado. Got about a foot of snow. Now, I'm talking to some friends down south, and I don't want to say exactly where, but I'm talking to some people down south. And it's a little bit weird to me because they told me, hey, you know, job's canceled for the day. They shut down the job. School is canceled for the day, whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, what are they canceling it for? Why are you, I mean, you getting some snow? You getting an ice storm? What do you got? And I get it. If you're getting the ice storm, I get it. Because, you know, some of those cities down south, some of those cities in the southern part of the United States, I'm not, you know, going to say exactly which ones. They don't have the capabilities to deal with those kind of things. So I get it. So they go, no, we didn't have any precipitation at all. It's cold. It's cold out. I said, well, how cold is it? Well, it's in the 30s. It's down in the 30s. It's down in the 30s, so they're canceling school. Now, again, I know that there are some people that, you know, I've heard the talk about Denver and you guys are mile high. You're getting less oxygen to the brain. I get all that. I understand all that. But y'all might be a little bit soft if you're canceling it because it got down in the 30s. On Monday, we had about a foot, almost 13 inches of snow, at least where I live. About 13 inches of snow. At about 7:30 that morning, it was about 9 degrees outside. School wasn't even delayed. It wasn't even like they said, hey, take an extra 30 minutes. No, be here at 8, and if you're not here at 8, you're late. We're raising a nation of sissies, aren't we? And I don't get it. You know, the thing about the cold, and I understand, we've had days here in Colorado where we have those days where it's like 20 below, and they'll be like, hey, we wanted to have school, but when we went to start the buses, they wouldn't start because the crankcases were, you know, frozen solid. I get that. But, you know, 30 degrees? They actually have this new invention out for those cold days. It's called a coat. And what you do with a coat is you put it around your torso and you put your arms through, and then it keeps you a little bit warmer. Really? Canceling school? 30 degrees? I don't know. I don't get it. Hey, the Oscars were on Sunday night. And you know, I know it was a couple days ago. That's both the benefit of being on a Wednesday when we do the podcast and the curse, because it was a couple days ago. The Oscar for just way too long. My goodness. I tried to watch them pretty long. Got a little bit long. 3.5 hours? 3.5 hours for y'all to pat yourselves on the back. Doogie Howser was okay. He's all right. It felt like sometimes he was forcing a little bit. And we saw, you know, Birdman gets best pick. And I'm always interested. It's always entertaining to me when Hollywood gets up on the stage and starts, you know, kind of telling us what we should be thinking and what we should be doing in our lives, because they're not so far removed that they have no idea what we're going through. Hollywood gets up there. And J.K. Simmons was good. J.K. Simmons said, you know, he, you know, call his parents and we got to make sure, you know, to do that. Everybody go home and, you know, call parents. And I tried to call J.K. Simmons' parents all night. They would never answer my call. Patricia Arquette gets up there and she's talking about equal, you know, pay for female actresses and that kind of thing. And I'm going, you made $5 million last year. I get what you're saying, but there's some people watching the show that are just trying to figure out how to put a meal on the table. I know you're suffering through your $5 million, but it might not be reality. You know, Hollywood always a little bit sore. And you know, that was a white crowd there at the Oscars. And I got the feeling, you know, because there had been that situation where, Selma, you know, obviously not going to win Best Picture. It wasn't even nominated that much. It really wasn't talked about much in the realm of Best Picture. And I kind of got the feeling that all the white people at the Oscars, they were like pointing at Common and John Legend and Oprah, like kind of going, see, we have black friends. We do have black friends. I told you we had friends. And see, there they are. I don't know. I just kind of got that feeling. And you know, the Common John Legend thing, it was kind of cool, you know, I get it, but just kind of got that feeling that the Oscars were, maybe pumping themselves up a little bit. Lady Gaga sang some Julie Andrews from Sound of Music. Now, there's a lot of people talking about Lady Gaga can sing. If you look in like the encyclopedia, like Wikipedia, I think the title next to Lady Gaga is like singer performer. Why are we so impressed that she can sing? You can sing. That's kind of your job, isn't it? I mean, you're supposed to be able to sing. I realize we've kind of been, you know, spoiled with the Britneys and the ones that can't sing. So maybe that's why it's that impressive to us. But I wasn't that impressed that you could sing. You're supposed to sing. You're a singer. You want to impress me. Get Julie Andrews up there and have her doing some Lady Gaga. That would impress me. My poker face, my poker face. Now you got me. Now I'm seeing something that I haven't seen before. But just because Gaga goes up there and sings, I guess. You know, toward the end of the Oscars, they always kind of do that memoriam thing where they show the people in Hollywood who have passed over the past year. And so you see, you know, a few different people. You know, Robin Williams, obviously, you know, huge. Robin Williams was great. The things that he did and not just, you know, his comedy, but his acting and that kind of things. You know, Lauren Bacall was up there. And, you know, the history that Lauren Bacall has in Hollywood. No mention of Joan Rivers. I thought that was a little bit odd. I realize she's not like an Oscar type actress, but she had some comedy and some movies that, you know, at least were in Hollywood and that kind of thing. Also, no mention of John Travolta in the, I saw him and his rug. He looked dead to me. I don't know. Is he a man? Looked like a corpse up there. Did you see that rug stapled to his scalp? He looked like he should have been in a wax museum as the wax rendition of John Travolta. Ooh, it's bad. It was really bad. Hey, let's get to some breaking news. Let's get to a couple of sports stories that are out. Well, it's that time of year, folks. It is that time of year. Bulls guard Derrick Rose has a torn meniscus, and like clockwork, he is going to undergo surgery. Timetable to be determined once he has the surgery, and we'll see, probably going to finish his year, but that's just my guess. Here's the thing, and there's a lot of people that, you know, well, he's just soft, and that's not what this is. There are certain people, and I believe this, with the coaching background that I have seen certain people, they are just predisposed to these type of injuries. I don't know if it's DNA, if it's just genetic, I don't know what it is. But I know that I have had players, for me, they could make the exact same play that a different player would make. One tears their knee, one doesn't. And that tells me you're just predisposed to having that. And I'm starting to wonder if that is just what Derrick Rose has. He is just one of those guys that, for whatever reason, his knees are not going to let him be the player that he once was. And when you watch his style of play, everything, it's a lot of angles, it's a lot of hard cuts, it's a lot of, you know, explosion to the hoop. That's the way he's always played. I don't know. I guess maybe that style just lends itself. And then in addition to him, you know, just having these issues in his knees, I don't know if we are ever going to see the Derrick Rose that we saw early on in his career. I think after a while, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, athletes and, oh, they'll come back better and he takes the year off. Do you ever really just come back better? Does it ever just get better? It seems like it just progressively gets worse, and that's what I'm starting to wonder about Derrick Rose. He is going to be out for a... Now, with a meniscus, there is a possibility he could be back playoffs. I don't have any faith in that ever happening. Worse news for Chicago fans last night, Patrick Kane for the Chicago Blackhawks is going to be out 6 to 10 weeks after suffering an upper body injury, and that sounds like that could be something... you know, where he got checked into the boards pretty hard, slow to get up. You never know what that could be. That could be a rib. That could be a back. You don't know what that is. And that might be even more serious than the Derrick Rose thing. The Derrick Rose thing, I hate to say this, but the Derrick Rose thing, we always kind of expect. We kind of figure that is going to happen. One other breaking news story that I do want to get to. Inglewood, California. The Inglewood City Council has approved plans to build a football stadium that includes St. Louis Rams owner Stan Kroenke as a partner. Council has approved a $2 billion plan with a 5-0 vote, and they are saying they are going to push this through on the hurry-up plan. I have been telling you this for over a year. We are going to have the NFL in Los Angeles, in Southern California, whether you would like it or whether you would not. It is probably going to happen sooner rather than later. And there's already talk. Obviously, this is Kroenke's team. So the Rams, you figure the Rams, they have some history in Los Angeles. Rams could go back there very easily. Raiders have talked about wanting to go there. Chargers have talked about wanting to go there. They both have issues with their current stadium site that would lend itself to maybe this. I think they'll put two teams back there, and you will have always one team playing at home every single week. But that looks like that has been, you know, that's getting green-lighted, and that is going forward. It's just going to be a matter of what teams. So, you know, if you're LA and you like football and you like that situation, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is you're going to have the NFL there. The bad news is it's probably going to be the Rams, Raiders, and Chargers back there. Two of those three teams. I don't know. I've heard talk that maybe it'll be three of those. I don't know how you do that. You know, got a lot of things to get to. We were talking earlier about John Travolta looking dead. Let's jump into the NBA and the trade deadline, because speaking of corpses, the Brooklyn Nets shipped the carcass of Kevin Garnett back to Minnesota for Thaddeus Young. There were some weird kind of deals going down on trade deadline, and that to me stood out as the weirdest deal at the trade deadline. I didn't understand this deal at all, because for one, KG's going to be a free agent in like 3-4 months. So why would you need to do anything to get him? Just wait and get him when he's a free agent. And then Minnesota says, not only do they want him, because I was thinking when they got him, it was going to be one of those things. Hey, Minnesota brings Kevin Garnett back. He was a guy that, you know, got us started. He was, you know, kind of, he's going to come back and he's going to retire as a Timberwolf. I get it. They're saying they want him to play for 2 more years. I don't know if KG can play for 2 more games, let alone 2 more years. Are you kidding me? Really, really weird kind of situation up in Minnesota. That Minnesota move for KG, it was so Denver Nugget-ish. Like, we're going to go get a guy that sort of helped us be mediocre back in the day. And so we're going to go get, you know, Dan Issel to be our coach. It kind of felt like that.
Hey, before we jump back into this throwback episode of The Dose,
Just want to remind you, make sure you do still stop by DailyDoseSports.com. We do put up some new articles every week. We also have links to the podcast. We have links to the video. And yes, we have links to Daily Dose gear. If you need to pick up some Daily Dose gear, you need a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, a hoodie, maybe you need a coffee mug, whatever you might need, head over to DailyDoseSports.com and you will find exactly what it is that you are looking for. Now, let's jump back in to a throwback episode of the Daily Dose. Denver Nuggets were a little bit active. They sent JaVale McGee and a pick to Philly just to get rid of JaVale McGee. And I had a number of people asking me, why would they give them a player and a pick? Well, because they had such a huge contract with JaVale McGee that they were just trying to get out from under it. So in order to get Philly to take him, you had to give them a pick too. And people said, well, that seems like a dumb deal. Why would you do that? And here's the best way I could compare it. Have you ever paid anyone to come clean up after your dog and clean up your backyard? That's basically what the Nuggets did. They said, hey, we have this mess in our backyard. Can you come clean it for us? And so they get the Sixers to take JaVale McGee and a pick to take him. They also shipped Aaron Aflalo off to Portland, and they get a pick for that. There's so many of these teams. You see it with Philly. You see it with Boston. You see it with Denver. You're seeing a number of these teams, and they're stockpiling these draft picks. They're not getting players. They're just getting picks. We have another pick, and then we got another first-round pick, and then next year we got a protected pick, and then this time we got another. And I'm sitting there going, let me tell you why they're stockpiling these picks. Let me tell you why all these GMs are doing this. Because the general managers of these teams are trying to have job security. And so if I sit here and I say, hey, here's the trade we made and here's the player that I have. Well, maybe he's a good player, maybe he's not. But if I just have the pick, I have an asset. And I say, well, hey, wait, my job's not done yet because I still got to draft somebody with that pick. And then I'll show you what a great job I'm going to do once I get this pick. The problem is most of these picks are going to end up being bad. And I know from the Nuggets perspective, we're probably going to draft some guy from like Serbia who never will come play here anyways. But that's why GMs are doing it. They sit there and say, look, all these assets we have. I have 3 first round picks over the next 3 or 4 years. Now, granted, they're going to screw those picks up, but that's why they're doing it. The NBA, they extended that time off from All-Star Weekend. They gave them like a full 9 days off for All-Star Weekend so that players would be healthier. They had said, they get banged up. Remember, LeBron came out last year and said, we need more time. We're so banged up. We're playing back-to-backs and all this stuff. So they give them this time. And now we're looking at these teams after the break. You've got Kevin Durant is out with the foot procedure. He's going to have the screw replaced in his foot. Miami, Chris Bosh with the lung, the blood clot in his lung. And I realize that, maybe that has nothing to do with playing that, that's whatever. But you've got Bosh gone for the season. You've got Dallas. They've got Rondo with the face injury. I mean, you've got Chandler Parsons with the ankle. You got Golden State. Steph Curry has got the foot problem. Clippers have Blake Griffin with the elbow. Portland has LaMarcus Aldridge with his knee, his ankle. Rose now with the knee. It seems to me that it doesn't make any difference how big of a break it is. The 82-game season is just so long. You're going to get injured. You're going to get banged up. That's just the fact. You can change it however you want. You can try to give them, okay, we're going to limit the back-to-backs. You want to do something about it? Drop about 20 games off the schedule. They're not going to do that, but drop about 20 games off the schedule, and then maybe you'd see some difference. Maybe then we could see some players not breaking down physically quite as much. You want to change that a little bit. Instead of having all the playoff series going 7 games, have a couple of them go 5 games or 3 games. That would take some mileage off these guys. Remember, it's not the years, it's the mileage. But until you're doing that, I don't really see this changing. You can pretend if you want to, but I don't see this changing. Hey, Major League Baseball is looking at making some changes. And I can't even believe that this is actually happening. But Major League Baseball is saying we are looking at making some changes. Now I'm going to tell you why they're making these changes in a minute. But Major League Baseball, they are going to add some new rules. One of the things that they're considering, they are considering going to 154 games from 162. They're going to drop 8 games off. Which is great if How about you drop about 80 games off? Then it might be a little more interesting. Eight? Eh, I don't know if that's doing much for me. But baseball says they want to speed up the game. They want to speed up the game. And so they have put in three rules to try to speed up the game. I'm gonna go over these rules real quick. First off, there's the batter's box rule. So a batter must keep a foot in the batter's box. Now, if they do take their feet out of the batter's box, it's not going to be a strike, but there's going to be a fine. You're going to get fined $500 every time you take both feet out of the batter's box. Isn't that already a rule? Aren't you supposed to stay in the batter's box unless you call time? Now they're going to really mean it. Think about this. Think about this for 1 second. The average length of time between pitches is 23 seconds. 23 seconds between pitches. I know for a fact, Troy Tulowitzki is about 28 seconds because he steps out, he's taking off the leg thing, he's taking off the arm thing, readjusting the armbands, takes the gloves off, blows his nose, adjusts his cup, steps back in, 30 seconds. Not between batters, between pitches. 30 seconds? Are you kidding me? And then Major League Baseball says we've got some dead space when it's at the half inning and we come back from a commercial. Pitcher has to be ready. You've got to be ready. You're going to have 40 seconds from the time we return from commercial. You've got 40 seconds to get that first pitch in. Right now, it averages about 50 seconds. So pitchers are going to have to hustle out between you know the half inning and warm up a little bit quicker. And then the last rule that they're putting in is managers cannot leave the dugout during challenges because they don't want it slowing down that, you know, that much more. They want the umpire to go over, get with the challenge, start dealing with the challenge, unless it ends an inning and then you can come out and talk to him about it because that's not going to delay it anymore. They want faster replay. Now, here's the thing I want you to think about. Why does Major League Baseball want to speed up the game? Is it to make it more enjoyable? Is it to make it a better experience for us as fans? Because I gotta believe that it's actually not. Because here's the thing. Remember that it is always about money. It's always about money. Every single time. If they tell you it's not about money, it's about money. If they tell you it's about anything other than money, they're lying. It's about money. It's always about money. When you think about it, wouldn't a longer baseball game mean more money? Wouldn't a longer baseball game mean more commercials, mean more ads, mean more time, you know, spent? So it would actually make more money. So why would Major League Baseball want to speed up these games? Let me tell you why they want to speed up these games. I'm going to break this down for you real easy. Do you realize that the average baseball fan, and they've taken this based on TV viewing habits and based on who is attending the games, the average baseball fan is 53 years old. 53. Not 23. Not even 43. They are trying to speed up these games so their fans don't go dying on them. That is why they're trying to speed it up. Because they are trying to find a market where we say, okay, somebody's got to start watching it. Somebody less than 50 has got to start watching these games because nobody's watching it. Nobody's watching it. The younger generation could care less about baseball. They don't care. 53 is the average. 53 is the average. That's why they're trying to speed up this game because they are dying to try to find some fans. They are dying to try to keep baseball not as the national pastime, but just as something that maybe if you had nothing better to do, you might watch. And right now, that's not the case. Hey, did you see Alex Rodriguez show up early for spring training? Showed up a little early. You know, the Yankees owe him $60 million. So yeah, he's showing up early. He's dressed, uniforms pressed. He's looking like $1 million. He's ready to go. Come on, coach, put me in. I'm surprised he didn't bring Joe Girardi an apple. You know, A-Rod, he already apologized for just whatever, general naughtiness or whatever. And you had the media, because he was there early, you had the media asking him. So, do you think the Yankees are on your side? What's your feeling? Do you feel like the Yankees are on your side? Well, you'll have to ask them. That was his response. You'll have to ask them. No, I'm not asking you what they feel. I'm asking you what they think. You'll have to ask them. If I'm A-Rod, honestly, if I'm A-Rod, I'm using every PED I can get my hands on this year. Because who cares? I mean, you already have the reputation. Everybody already knows you cheated. Everybody just you walk out of the dugout with a needle actually hanging out of you. No one believes you anyways. Do whatever you want, because who cares? Speaking of who cares, boxing. We had some big news in boxing. Floyd Mayweather is finally going to fight Manny Pacquiao. It is official. It is official. May 2nd in Las Vegas. You going to watch it? You going to watch it? You know, May 2nd, if you look at May 2nd, and I know we're starting to get into, you know, those dry days when we start getting into, you know, there's no football, there's no this and this and that. Look at May 2nd on your calendar. There's a couple things going on that day. You've got the Kentucky Derby on May 2nd, Saturday, May 2nd. You got the Kentucky Derby. You're going to have NHL playoffs. You're going to have NBA playoffs. You're going to have the NFL draft finishing its you know, draft up. It's like the second or third day or whatever it's going to be. And then you've got the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight that night. The problem I have with this Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, and we're going to talk about it, because it is the biggest fight that's been in boxing since I don't even know when. But this fight is everything that is wrong with boxing. There's no governing body, so they do whatever they want, and they hold the fans hostage until the fans no longer even care. This fight should have happened 6 years ago. And if that was the case, we'd be looking at possibly like the third fight. This is like the rubber match. Hey, they've each won one, and now we're looking at the third fight. Instead, we're like, well, I mean, it's two guys past their prime. I don't know if it's going to be a good fight. I know that Mayweather is at least listed as still the best pound for pound fighter. I don't even know if that's the case anymore. Maybe. And you know, we'll cover it here on the Daily Dose. We will cover it. We'll take care of it. We'll make sure that you have some info on it. And to be honest, I might even watch it, but I'll promise you, I won't pay for it. I won't pay for it. And if I do watch it, this better be Hagler Hearns. I want nothing but action. I don't want Mayweather dancing around and running and trying to get away. I want to see a fight. By the way, speaking of boxing, I watched Gennady Golovkin this weekend, and he beat the mess out of Martin Murray on Saturday. And I am watching Golovkin fight, and I realize, you know, Golovkin's a weight up. I realize that would be a step up in weight for Mayweather. But I started to think maybe that's why Floyd scheduled Manny. Because I don't think he wants anything to do with Gennady. I think he looks at Gennady Golovkin, and there was some talk, hey, maybe he would be the next challenger to Mayweather. You know, young fighter, kid hits like a load of bricks. And I'll tell you the biggest thing, if I were Mayweather, that I would not want to do with Golovkin, obviously a little bit heavier, a little bit stronger, a little bit more of a heavier puncher. He cuts off the ring very, very well. He's got very quick feet, slides his feet, will cut you off, get you in the corner, and get you up the ropes and beat you to death. That would be a bad, bad combination. I'm not saying he's ducking Golovkin, and I know everybody, the money is there. I get why you're fighting Pacquiao. I don't get why it took this long, but I get it. But I got a feeling that maybe it was, yeah, I'd rather fight, you know, Pacquiao being over the hill than I want anything to do with Gennady, because that would not go well at all. Daytona 500 was on Sunday. We saw 24-year-old Joey Logano win Daytona down there, and Logano looked fastest all day. You know, I was watching a little bit of it, and I couldn't bring myself to watch the whole thing. It's too long. But I heard, Darrell Waltrip getting all excited and talking about this is the best Daytona ever, and they were three wide on that final lap and all that. And I was like, yeah, but nobody passed anybody. Like, there was no passing at all. Everybody went three wide, and then they kind of just filtered out the way they... I didn't see any passing, like, at all. I don't know. They got to do something with Daytona to at least you know, in stock car racing in general, where you have more passing. Because I don't care if you're five wide. If everybody still ends up in the same position, it wasn't that great to me. I know that he was excited, and I get it. That's his job. He's trying to, you know, pump some life into it, but... wasn't that entertaining to me? NFL Combine finished up on Sunday. And you know, we had a few opinions on it, a couple different. My biggest takeaways were this, looking at the NFL Combine. And I don't put a whole lot of stock into the Combine in general. But teams really like Marcus Mariota, and they really like Jameis Winston. And both of them threw well. It was a little bit odd to me that they both threw well, but I didn't hear anybody really talking about how much Mariota moved up, because the questions about Mariota were not so much off the field. They were on the field. Can he make the throws? Can he take the snaps? Can he do that kind of thing? So then he shows good in the combine. Everyone's like, oh yeah, who cares? But Winston, they were like, oh man, he threw so well and he seemed so good in the interviews and he spoke so well and he did that. My questions for Winston have never been about how he throws or how he runs or how he reads defenses. It's all that other stuff with Winston. Are you going to continue to do stupid things every weekend? Do I have to worry about you every single night when you are left to your own devices? Those are the things that worry me. It did come out. And this is the kind of news that makes headlines during the combine. This kind of just tells you where we're at. This is the kind of stuff that makes headlines. It came out that apparently Jameis Winston has smaller hands than what they thought. And you know what they say about guys with smaller hands. Smaller gloves. Hey, just so you know, Winston is going to Tampa with that first pick. Tampa's not going to pass him up. They will take him. The bad news, at least for the Broncos, bad news is that the position at safety, tight end, inside linebacker, not a lot of depth in this draft. And those are all three positions that the Denver Broncos desperately need. I don't know. There's a couple guys at the top in each of those positions that you could say, okay, maybe, especially at the tight end position for Denver. But there's not a lot of depth there at those positions. I don't know if you're going to be able to fill out all those roles. You know, free agency, NFL free agency starts March the 10th. And I'll tell you what, when you look at the list of players that are going to be available, it's one of the biggest years I can remember. I mean, look at some of the names on NFL free agent list. Justin Houston, Dez Bryant, Ndamukong Suh, of course, here with the Broncos, Demaryius Thomas, Julius Thomas, Jason Pierre-Paul, defensive end with the Giants, you know, Devin McCourty with the Patriots, Randall Cobb, DeMarco Murray, Brandon Flowers, Terrence Knighton also with the Broncos. Broncos have a number of holes they're going to have to fill out, with free agency. They're either going to have to re-sign some people and pay some people, or they're going to have to go find somebody else. Jeremy Maclin, Nick Fairley, Torrey Smith. The Ravens just cut Jacoby Jones, wide receiver, kick returner, Jacoby Jones, you know, the guy that beat the Broncos in 2013. Remember him? I know I do. So a number of people. Hey, I'm going to give you a couple of players that I want you to keep in mind when we're looking at free agency, because not only do we have the free agency situation, what it is, and there's going to be people shuffling teams and moving around and going to different teams, but you're going to have a number of veterans who are going to get cut to create salary cap space. You're going to have a few of them. And I'm going to give you a couple names that you might not think about that are going to probably get cut. I'll give you one right off the bat that stands out to me, Sam Bradford with the St. Louis Rams. Bradford has a good chance of getting cut, because what do you do with him? I mean, he's never healthy, can't ever stay healthy. Don't you have to start moving on from Sam Bradford? Bradford may get cut. What does Minnesota do with Adrian Peterson? I know that from their perspective, maybe they say they want him back. I guess the fans up in Minnesota would probably forgive and forget when he came in and broke off a 100-yard run or whatever. But does Adrian Peterson want to be there? Remember, from his perspective, he's sitting there saying, hey, why didn't you guys have my back? I'm looking at this, this wasn't anything where, is criminal or anything like that. Why didn't you guys have my back and get me back on the field? You wonder if Adrian Peterson wants to stick around. I get the feeling that Adrian Peterson may just want to go down to Texas full time. That is where he's from. That is where he lives in the offseason. Now, just a coincidence, Cowboys DeMarco Murray is a free agent. Maybe Murray goes somewhere else and the Cowboys sign Peterson. I don't know. Looks like a very, very strong possibility. I'll tell you a cut that you might not see coming. I think the Steelers are going to cut Troy Polamalu. I think he's going to be done. Too much salary. And they've already said they want him to retire a Steeler. So if you're not willing to pay him, and he's probably not willing to take that big pay cut, Polamalu may end up getting cut. Do the Jets cut Percy Harvin? He's costing you a little bit of money. I don't know if they should. You figure that he starts to fill out a group up with New York that is starting to actually look like a skill position group with Decker. And now you maybe go get someone else in the draft. You got a couple people up there, but I wonder if the Jets would cut Percy Harvin to save that big salary. What about the Patriots? The Patriots always seem to have a knack for cutting certain people, and they sit there and say, hey, we can plug anyone else in. What about Danny Amendola? Do the Patriots cut Amendola? Do the Patriots cut Darrelle Revis? I'm just throwing that out there. What about the Bears? The Bears are going to have some decisions that they've got to make. What do they do with Jay Cutler? Do you keep Jay Cutler? It's not like everyone looks at Jay Cutler and they're like, well, you know, he just needs the right situation. He's been in the league for 10 years. He's not going to change. What do you do with Jay Cutler? Do you cut him? Do you just get rid of him and say, hey, we got to move on. Let's go get somebody in the draft. Let's go see, and I know the quarterback class is not particularly deep. Let's go see if we can find a free agent. Let's go see, you know, I don't know. Jay Cutler could end up getting cut. And I'm going to give you one more name. I'm going to give you one more name that could get cut. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm going to give you one more name that could get cut. Do the Broncos cut Peyton Manning? Because I keep waiting for this deal to finally get done, or them to announce Peyton's back and blah, 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 blah. And it makes me wonder if they aren't in there, you know, going back and forth on a contract, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, you want to be here, you don't want to be here. Here's the money we're going to pay you. Here's what you're willing to take. Kind of a done deal. But you wonder, is Denver asking for such a significant cut that Peyton says, I will not return for that amount? And if that is the case, do the Denver Broncos end up cutting Peyton Manning? I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think John Elway would let that happen. Right? Right? Surely that wouldn't happen. I can't believe that it would. I don't know. Let's talk about college basketball a little bit. You know, the Big Ten. The Big Ten was talking about bringing back the rule that freshmen cannot play their first year. I wonder if the Big Ten is talking about bringing back prohibition also. It's a nice step back. The thing about the rule, and when you hear that, you sit there and you say, wait a second, what are you talking about? Freshmen can't play. It's a nice idea. It would be much, much better for kids. It would be much better for kids. Let kids come in, get a year under their belt without athletics, let them adjust to student life, let them adjust all those things. It would be better for them in the long run. But that's not what we're about in America. We don't care about the kids. Come on. That's not what we do. It will not ever happen. Because it would have to be NCAA-wide. You couldn't just do it in one conference and just say, hey, Big Ten, we're going to do that, and you can't. Because it would just be suicide. Everyone would just say, okay, well, we're not coming there. The top players, we're not coming there. SEC's not going to do it. I can tell you that right now. There's no way. So there's no way that's going to happen unless it was a situation where the NCAA just said, hey, we're going to crack this all across the nation. You are not allowed to play as a friend. I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. It's a nice idea. Get kids in school, have them stay an extra year. Your clock wouldn't start. You know, it'd be a little bit later, but it's not going to happen. Good idea. We're going to have to discuss this a little bit, aren't we? About the running of the floor when you win a game. We saw Kansas State fans charge the floor on Monday when they beat, you know, number 8 Kansas. And then you even see a fan kind of throw an elbow at forward Jamari Taylor. Settle down. And then last night, we saw it again. We saw when Maryland beat Wisconsin, they run the floor. Here's the thing. And now we're starting to get this discussion of, do you ban, you know, running the floor? Do you ban the fans charging the floor? How do you take that out? How do you get rid of that? There are a number of ways you can get rid of it. If you want to get rid of it, you can. It's not that difficult to get rid of. The SEC gets rid of it every year. They basically say, okay, one time you do it and maybe don't get fined. You get fined in the SEC if you go out and run out on the floor. You get fined in the SEC if you run out onto the field. Every once in a while, it'll still happen. It's not that the fine affects the kids. People sit there and say, well, the fine doesn't affect the kids. What do they care? No, but it gets the university to make sure there's security in place so that it doesn't happen. And I've heard people say, well, you know, don't show it on TV. If you don't show them running on the floor on TV or running on the field on TV, then they won't do it because they just want to be on TV. I can tell you from personal experience, I have coached high school games where the home crowd or our crowd ran out on the floor as a big, you know, win at the end, and they ran out on the floor. It wasn't on TV. So it makes no difference if it's on TV or not. Some of these little colleges, they run the floor if they, you know, they pull the upset or they win the, you know, they have the big, you know, great finish or whatever, you know, big shot at the end. They run the floor. It doesn't have anything to do with TV. That's not what it's about. Just make sure that people can get on and off the floor safely. I don't care. But here's my problem. you know, Kansas State, you led the whole game the other night, and you just beat Kansas like last year. At what point do you have to sit there and say, yeah, we kind of expect to do this? That was my biggest problem as a coach when our fans ran the floor, was I was always like, get out of here. We expect to win this game. I don't want this to be where, oh, we're so amazed that we won the game, we had to run out on the floor. No, we kind of expected it. We kind of plan on beating you. That's just what we do. I don't like that from that perspective. I never like that. I want to expect to win. I don't want it to be a situation where we're so shocked that we won. And like I said, I get the big comeback or the crazy finish or whatever. But other than that, just stay in the stands and act like you've done it. And I'm not trying to go, you know, old man on you or anything, but I kind of want to expect like we win. College basketball needs to do something to generate some interest, by the way. Because we're not even really watching college hoops, and we don't really watch it until March Madness. Now, I realize when March Madness comes, and that is coming quickly, when March Madness comes, we are glued to it. You know, the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, the Sunday, that first weekend, it is insane how into college hoops we are. But from basically the beginning of the season until then, we could care less. We could care less. Last week, when Carolina faced Duke, was probably the first time that I think anyone in the country went, oh yeah, there's a college basketball game on tonight that I actually kind of care about. And it was a good game. Ended up going overtime. Duke, you know, finds a way and pulls it out. But it was, I think it was one of the first games that we really said, okay, we have to watch. College basketball has to do something to get itself back on the map. And I don't know what it does, but its regular season is nothing that anyone cares about. No one could care at all about the regular season. Unless you're just a hoops junkie, you're not watching it. The average person is not watching it. College hoops has to come up with a plan. And I don't know if that is we have a big college basketball event right after the Super Bowl or right after the national championship, or we piggyback on some of the big college football games or what that is. But college basketball is, and it should be great. It should be great. It's not. It's kind of forgotten until March Madness. And then at March Madness, we care. They've got to put together some kind of an event. They've got to put together some kind of a, you know, this big gala extravaganza where you sit there and say, hey, on this night, and it's not March Madness, but on this night or at this event, college hoops is great and we want to watch as much as we can. They try to put the big matchups together. You will see out of conference matchups back in December, even a little bit in November. They're quality, but there's really no, you know, publicity for them. There's really nothing that makes you say you really want to watch them. It's just not there. College hoops, I feel like, really has to do something to get itself back on the map, because as a nation, we really don't care until March Madness. And March Madness is great. March Madness is phenomenal. And then we jump on full force. But until then, we don't care. Let's get to our Daily Dose top five this week. You know, we do a top five every single week, and I've told you in the past, sometimes our top five is going to entertain you, sometimes it's going to inform you, sometimes it's actually going to kill some brain cells for you. You never know what you're going to get with the Daily Dose top five. We just bring you a number of different things. But this week, I thought for our Daily Dose top five, you know, it was the Oscars this last week, and we have movies. And I've told you in the past, and if you've listened to Daily Dose a long time, you probably already know this, I'm not a huge Hollywood guy. Hollywood doesn't really get it. And they particularly don't get it when it comes to the world of sports. If you have a great sports movie, Hollywood tends to find a way to ruin it and just, you know, completely destroy it. So if you've got, and even some of my favorite sports movies, they step in and they find a way to kind of mess up. One of my favorite movies all time, sports movies. One of my favorite sports movies, and I'm like I said, I'm not a huge Hollywood guy, Hoosiers. Hoosiers is one of my favorite sports movies of all time. Love Hoosiers. It came out, you know, when I was you know, young and wanting to play basketball. And that was the biggest movie to me. But even in that, we had that forced, horrible love interest with the teacher and the coach, and we had that awful kiss where they mashed each other's faces against each other. Hollywood just tends to mess sports up, because people in Hollywood, let's be real clear, most of the people in Hollywood, most people, you know, the directors and the producers and the actors, they weren't exactly athletes. So they really don't even know what this stuff is about. And so they're like, how about instead of the football game, we have the football team come out and they dance on the field first. I don't want that garbage. I don't Give me a sports story. I don't need Sandra Bullock telling this kid that's been playing football his whole life, here's how you play football, and this is what you're going to do. Pretend that the kid was playing football his whole life. Hollywood tends to ruin this stuff, and I can't stand it, because the original stories were great. If you take The Blind Side and you read the book of The Blind Side story is great. You didn't have to get all this Hollywood nonsense crammed in the story. And so as a result, we get a lot of these sports movies that aren't as good as what they should be. Now, for the record, for me personally, my favorite sports movies are probably Hoosiers. I'll put maybe Field of Dreams on there. Field of Dreams is pretty solid if you're going to go baseball. Major League, and that I don't even know if that's a sports movie, but it's funny to me, and there are still lines in there that I quote like every day. Caddyshack, I would put Caddyshack in there. Again, I'm not sure it's a sports movie, but I'm putting that in. My favorite sports movie, if I was going movies though, would probably be, and I've told you this before, would probably be the documentary Hoop Dreams, because it wasn't Hollywood. It was real. It wasn't fake. It wasn't acting. There wasn't these forced storylines that they had to cram in there. Well, we've got to make sure we get a love interest in there, and we got to make sure that we have this in there. No, it was real. You saw these kids have victory, and you saw these kids fail, and it was just as real as it could get. So for this week's Daily Dose Top 5, I am going to give you the top 5 sports movies that you've never heard of. And some of these movies, you're going to sit there and say, I don't even know what that's about. I'm going to give you, now, I'm telling you right now, you may want to write these down. You may want to type these into your phone, whatever it might be. But I'm going to give you sports movies, the top 5 sports movies you've never heard of. And I'm telling you right up front, these are not fake. These are real. These are documentary type movies. And they are phenomenal. I would encourage you, go to Netflix or whatever and see if you can find any of these movies. You will be entertained. You will be entertained because they are really, really interesting and they're real. It's not Hollywood nonsense. I don't like the Hollywood nonsense. That's just me. I'm going to give you the top 5 sports movies you've never heard of. Number 5. The number 5 movie, this one was a little bit bizarre, but the number 5 movie is called Knuckle. Knuckle. It's from 2011. And to give you some background on this movie, there is a guy that was filming this wedding, I guess. And he goes outside. He's filming and he goes outside and he hears these people, and it's a wedding taking place in Ireland. And there's this group, of Irish travelers, and they're talking about a fight that is coming up. And he's like, what are you guys talking about? And they said, well, there's these fights. We have these fights between clans over here. And this cameraman, he travels and follows this group for 12 years, just following around this group of Irish travels. And what they do, it's so surreal. It's so insane. And it is real. But what they do is they travel around and they basically send out these videotapes to each other's clans. And they say, hey, I want to fight you at this place at this time. And then they set up the fight. And then everybody bets on it. And I mean, there's a serious amount of money. I mean, these people are putting their life savings on these fights, and they get together at these places like a field or on a deserted road somewhere. And there's a group there and they go fight. And now this fighting, it is boxing, but it is bare knuckle boxing. And they are pretty strict with the rules. You're not really allowed to talk. Both sides usually wear mouthpieces, but there is no gloves. You can wrap your hands with some wrap, but that's all you have. And these people are socking each other in the face. And it's not like, now some of these guys, they go train a little bit. They'll take some time off work and they'll put in some time training and sparring and trying to get ready for these fights. But sometimes you've got like 2 grandpas out there and they're like, hey, I wanted to fight you. I never liked you. My family doesn't like you. Let's go. I want to fight you. And there is a ton of money riding on this stuff, and it is their whole world. It is absolutely insane. And I'll be very, very honest. Some of it is a little bit tough to watch. You're sitting there going, this is crazy. But at the same time, I can't turn away from it. I can't stop watching because I want to see who wins the fight. It is absolutely insane. And trust me, you'll be entertained. It is called Knuckle. That is our number 5 movie that you've never heard of. Number 4 on our list came out in 2007. This movie is absolutely amazing. It is called Quantum Hoops. And Quantum Hoops is a documentary that follows the basketball team at Caltech. And Caltech, you might sit there and say, well, I've never heard of Caltech. Caltech, are they any good in basketball? No, they're not. And the movie is following Caltech as they try to get their first win in 21 years. Now, Caltech, just so you know, Caltech was the model for a movie back in the 80s called Real Genius. It's one of these schools that it is the smartest of the smart. It's like MIT. It is Ivy League-esque when it comes to you've got to be the smartest of the smart to get in here. But they do field athletic programs. And at these, within these athletic programs, most of these kids have never played sports. So they're horrible. They're horrible. And they go out and they have not won a game in 21 years. Just a quick side note. The last time, at least at the time of the movie, the last time Caltech had won a game, they had won a game 21 years before this was filmed against a school called Pomona Pitzer. And that school, Pomona Pitzer, was actually coached by San Antonio Spurs head coach Greg Popovich at that time. He lost to Caltech. That was the last time they had won. This documentary follows Caltech through as they try to win a game with these little nerds that have no business being on the court. It is amazing. It at times is heartbreaking as you're just pulling for this horrible team to somehow win a game. And you realize it is their life. Some of these kids, they reach a point where they're just like, I just want to win a game. I just want to win one game. Quantum Hoops is a movie. Trust me, it is very, very good. Number three on our list of movies that you have never heard of, 2 Days in April, also came out in 2007. 2 Days in April follows four college football players as they prepare for the NFL draft. You get to see the inside of what goes on with these players. You know, they sign with an agency, they go to these personal training facilities, and they try to get themselves draftable and get themselves ready to show well in the combine. And then you go through their experience on draft day. Again, really, really interesting. And at times, you're pulling for these guys to get drafted. You're hoping, for the best. It's really, really interesting to see what goes on behind the scenes at the NFL draft. Number two on our list, sports movies you have never heard of, is called Tapia. Just came out in 2013. I believe you may have seen it on HBO. It is the incredible story of five-time world champion boxer Johnny Tapia. And if you don't know the story of Tapia, he battled drug addiction. He had a lot of personal struggles in his own life, was in and out of the ring. It is an absolutely amazing story. And it is a story that when you watch it, you just sit there and you go, I can't believe that this actually happened. I won't ruin it for you, but trust me, the finish of the movie is absolutely incredible. And if you didn't know the story, it really, really is amazing. The number one movie on our list, again, I told you, sports movies you have never heard of. They are real, sometimes they are raw, but they are entertaining. The number one movie on our Daily Dose Top 5 sports movies you have never heard of is called The Other Dream Team. And it was filmed released in 2012. It is the story of the 1992 Lithuanian Olympic basketball team. It is an absolutely amazing story. You might not know, there were a number of Lithuanians that had to play for the Russian team in the Olympics. And when they branched off and, they had the Civil War and Lithuania became its own country, players like Arvydas Sabonis and Šarūnas Marcelionis, the Russians would not let them play in the NBA. And when they broke off, they got their own team, but they didn't have the funding to get in the Olympics. And so somehow they partner up with the, the rock band Grateful Dead, and Grateful Dead actually funded them and helped them. You might remember that 92 Olympics. It was when we sent over our dream team with Jordan and Magic and Bird and all those. You might remember the Lithuanian team. They were wearing those Grateful Dead t-shirts, and it was kind of a big deal to them. The movie is absolutely incredible. And if you don't remember, Lithuania actually faced Russia in the Olympics. It is absolutely amazing. One of the best movies you will ever watch. Again, there are five movies you've probably never heard of. I would assume you've probably never seen. Put those on your list. Like I said, you might have to be resourceful. You might have to go to Netflix. You might have to get on the internet and just look for these movies. But those are five movies that, trust me, they will be worth your time. They are real sports movies, and sports movies that actually give you an inside look at what really goes on.
Hey, next week on The Dose, we will have another very special episode coming for you. And again,
I will give you a little hint. We will be talking about some of the odd sports teams that are out there. So make sure you stop by the Dose and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to GSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.